It is June 21st, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, and today I'm going to welcome to the line an independent wrestler, wrestled with Shimmer, Jersey All Pro, and this weekend has a big tournament that she'll be talking about. Today I'm going to give you Rachel Summerlin. How are you doing today, Rachel?
I'm doing wonderful today. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure having you here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, and I guess up front, my readers, my followers on Gerwick.net, obviously most of them, I would say, are big wrestling fans, in particular TNA and WWE, and probably a good number of our readers and followers that maybe are not familiar with Rachel Summerlin. So maybe to those that have never seen you before, can you introduce yourself and maybe describe the in-ring style that you've adopted?
I'm from Austin, Texas, so I definitely have a huge background in the Texas style of wrestling, you know, with world class and everything like that. I was trained here in Texas by Darren Childs, and also Daphne, former TNA Knockout, basically is one of my mentors and trainers as well. So I have a good variety of a style with, I can do the hardcore stuff, which is actually how I started my career, and then eventually transitioned into more of a strong style, Japanese style, and now mixing it all together with a good little Texas style. It's I really find myself, I think that I'm very well-rounded and diverse from a lot of the girls out there nowadays.
Yeah, you know, when I was first familiar with you, I heard about some of your hardcore matches. Mickey Knuckles, obviously a hardcore legend from the female side, and I just was like doing some research on you, and you were doing a promo for a Thumbtacks match, and I thought, I wonder if this is like the female version of Abyss, you know? But then, you know, you go a little bit further, and like you said, you do have strong style and Texas style, so you've not only you're blending different styles, which I think makes you a very interesting female wrestler to watch. And I guess starting with hardcore, how did you kind of get involved with hardcore? Because it seems like that's not a style that a lot of people would want to adapt or to get started with. So how did that come about?
I was traveling with Darren Childs and Jacob Ladder, and we were going up to IWA Mid South at the time, and they were participating in the Double Death tournament that year. And the night before was the first ever Queen of the Death match, which was a pretty big deal, you know, for here in the States, not having a women's death match tournament. And not all the participants were available or had shown up, or, you know, there were travel issues. Something had happened. I believe Lucista, like, had broken her hand the night before, so there were just a bunch of issues involving it, and I was there. Ian Rotten had known I had been training, you know, a little bit before shows with a lot of them practicing the simple stuff. I had really gotten down, a structure of a match, and I basically threw my name. I was like, look, if you need any girls, I have no problem doing it, because I had, as a manager and like a valet, I did take a thumbtack bump once before. And so I was like, okay, you know, I've done a thumbtack bump, so it should be simple enough if that's just what you want to do. So that was actually my very first wrestling match, was the Queen of the Death matches that year.
Wow. What a way to debut.
Yeah, baptism by fire to the extreme, right?
Although, I would say so.
Yeah, although people, I get asked a lot of times, why would you do that? You know, do you regret it? Because I did get pigeonholed for a while in the hardcore aspect. And looking back on it, within the four and a half years I've been wrestling, it really got my name out there quicker than if I would have just done any, you know, the normal stuff, the normal girl matches. And so looking back on those matches, looking back on especially my Taipei with Mickey, yeah. I thought that I feel like it's something very special, even watching it back now, because it was just all done off of emotion and all just, you know, I mean, that was just a legit, like, pretty much a fight. Because I was out there fighting for my life, basically making sure I didn't get destroyed and killed. So it's just definitely something you didn't see often. So people were always like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? And I think it's not something that everybody can do either, though. I think it takes a very fine, it takes a good talent to be able to make it all work and make it all make sense without just going out there and totally killing yourself.
Yeah, to make it look real. That's the beauty of, you know, any wrestling match is to make it look real.
Absolutely. Like, I think people just want, people want to believe that what's going on out there is really happening, and they want to get involved emotionally. And so that's what I try to do, especially with, you know, especially with, everyone knows how it feels to step on a thumbtack. Everybody, you know, it hurts. It's a terrible feeling. So to be thrown into like thousands of them is even worse. So, of course,
gosh,
I'm going to be...
Even, oh, I can't even imagine. Really can't.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, of course, I'm going to be screaming at the top of my lungs. I'm not going to want to be just laying around in thumbtacks. I mean, I'm going to try to avoid these thumbtacks at all costs.
You know, you've, you know, you mentioned Mickey Knuckles, and, of course, she's well-known on the indie circuit as a girl that's worked the hardcore style for, you know, quite a while. And she did have a stint with TNA as, they called her just Moose, simply. And
yes.
So I guess in one way, I guess if you look at it from the perspective, it makes you stick out. There's not a lot of women that do hardcore style. So if nothing else, you could say, you know, Mickey Knuckles at least made it to TNA, if nothing else. So I guess in your experiences with Mickey, as she talked about TNA, and is that something that, you know, you could see as a career path for you, is maybe you follow that style or that path, and maybe it could get you into one of the bigger companies?
I definitely... I would definitely like to, of course, be in either TNA or WWE. I think that's, you know, when you start wrestling, I think that's the ultimate goal.
Sure.
For you as a wrestler. And, of course, as the time goes on, your goals change and, you know, you have different sights. You have your eyes set on different things. And but for me personally, I would definitely love to work for either of the two big companies. And I think, though, that doing the hardcore style makes me possibly more marketable to them, because I'm not afraid to do that stuff. If they see that, they know that, okay, well, we could maybe, you know, build a whole feud around it and end it with some kind of hardcore match if need be. You know, like, she's not afraid to do this kind of stuff.
You know, you were talking about IWA Mid-South, Ian Rotten's group, and that's a group, I guess, has closed its doors for, I don't know, fifth or sixth time now.
Yeah.
I guess this one is for real. I guess they've closed down. I guess they've always had some sort of controversy there with Ian Rotten and the promoter, and I guess there was some controversy with Ian and Mickey Knuckles. I just wonder how your relationship was with Ian, and did you have any trouble with working for that group?
No, I never. You know, Ian always delivered on everything he promised me. I don't have an unkind word to say about Ian, because he never did anything to me. He never treated me badly. I never saw anything between him and Mickey. I mean, I spoke to Mickey after, I guess, her and Ian had a fallout. So I just only heard, you know, from her perspective what happened and what went on. So, I mean, who am I to really judge what happened? I don't know the full story. I was not there. But,
sure.
But I mean,
I think that, you know, the bottom line was with independent promoters is you want to be, you know, you want them to keep their promises and you want to get paid. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. And I do help run Anarchy Championship Wrestling. So as somewhat of a promoter, it's a big thing when you have independent promoters who don't follow through on their promise. It makes everyone look bad. You know, it makes every independent company look bad, because then even as a talent, when you're dealing with them, you wonder, you go, oh, well, is everything going to come through? Am I going to be paid? Am I going to get my flight? You know, you do worry when other people have, you know, done bad business.
Sure. I mean, you've heard those stories all the time. I'm sure you've been on an independent circuit, hear it all the time. You know, you wrestle a match and you go in the back and get paid and you can't find the guy. You don't know what happened.
Oh.
So.
I have an incredible, yeah, like, I,
maybe,
myself,
maybe you've experienced that yourself.
I have quite the incredible story, yes. It's myself, Dan Child, Eric Cannon, Sarah Del Rey, and Jimmy Jacobs. We all did a show in northern Texas. It was a 14-hour drive, mind you, just from inside of Texas. So we got up there, we all wrestled, and we go to the back, and someone was like, the promoter left with all the money. So we're, of course, like, freaking out. Like, I, you know, some of us don't have that, you know, that was gas money to get home. So, I mean, you have to figure out what you're going to do. And you go about, you know, any means to, you have to get what you were promised and what you were guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, you give up that weekend or you give up that date when you can be booked somewhere else. And like you
absolutely.
Said, gas money, it's eating money, it's maybe a hotel for the night. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just paying, you know, the water bill's due on Monday, so, you know, I'm going to get this show and make sure it pays the water bill.
Sure.
It pays a lot of people's bills. And, you know, and that's what I feel like a lot of people don't realize is that it is a job. It's a lot of our jobs. That's how we make money. That's how we survive.
Sure. Especially on the indie circuit. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a lot of these people don't work. I mean, they work for very little, you know, very little money, and they're just trying to make a name for themselves out there and
yeah.
get recognition. So,
yep.
Let's go. You know, with your ring style, you were talking about hardcore, strong style. Who were some of your favorite wrestlers, and maybe some of the biggest influences on your career?
Oh man, growing up, my favorite wrestlers were like I really loved Rick Rude. I loved Ravishing Rick Rude because he was
awesome.
Such a character. Yeah, he was so
awesome.
Such a character. Like, you hated him. Everyone
yes.
hated him. And, I mean, he was just so good at what he did. So good. So
very,
I always...
Very underrated in the annals of professional wrestling.
I think so, too.
Great
so,
deal.
I think so, too. So whenever people are like, oh, people are always shocked when that's like my first one because I'm like, I loved him. I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course... Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, British Bulldog, Owen Hart, of course, growing up as a kid, you know, I watched all of them. And then definitely Sarah Del Rey was a big influence on my career once I actually started getting into, like, women's wrestling, women's independent wrestling, Daisy Hayes, Mischief, and Daphne. Daphne was a huge influence on my career.
Just curious, I always like to ask this, especially of... some of the upcoming stars is, what did your parents think when you told them you wanted to get into professional wrestling?
My parents, it's so weird because my grandfather wrestled. My grandfather is Ivan Putski. Now, I've been around wrestling forever. Wrestling is just nothing out of the ordinary for me. It's, you know, it's just like, whatever. Oh, yeah, I wrestle. People are like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, this is normal. So they weren't necessarily shocked when I get into wrestling to start wrestling because they knew I was such a fan growing up, and they saw how much I enjoyed it. But they weren't ecstatic either.
You know, it's interesting because when I was doing a little research on you, I believe your first match, you wrestled as Rachel Putski.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you had changed your ring name, so there was, you know, so there's some controversy. It was, are you really... you know, Ivan Putski's granddaughter, or was that just a ploy to get into the business?
No, not at all. That is my blood grandfather. My mother is his only daughter, and it was just, no. I mean, you know, like, honest, I don't know. If I was just going to pick a name, wouldn't I pick, like, Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair or something?
Well, I guess the strange thing was, is, you know, obviously Putski, he's your grandfather's a Hall of Famer, and
yes.
obviously Putski's a name that, over the years, people know that name in wrestling. So you had it, you know, the first night as Rachel Putski. Why did you drop it and go to something else?
I wanted to make my own mark on wrestling. I wanted to be me.
Okay.
I didn't want to walk out and people expect Polish power, Ivan Putski. You know, I wanted people
right.
to go, Rachel Summerlin. Okay.
Which
and
is your
so,
real name, correct? Is that your
yes.
real name? Okay.
Yes. And so, so because I wanted to be me, I didn't want to have to, you know, kind of live up to anyone else's expectations.
How is Scott Putski doing these days?
He's doing good. He lives up in Northern Dallas. He's very happy. He's doing great. In great shape. Both are still in incredible shape.
Well, you know, I used to talk to Scott years ago, and he always was in great shape. And I know your grandfather's always been in great shape. So.
I know.
Those guys,
I know. I feel very lucky to have. I feel very lucky to have that DNA running through my veins.
I guess along,
very
along
lucky.
Same, Along the same line, are you a kind of a workout queen like your grandfather and your uncle there?
I am. I really am. Like, and it's recently just been over the last, like, 2 years that I've really become, like, just obsessed with working out. Like, you know, I wake up and I'm like, oh, I got to get to the gym. I got to do this. Oh, here's my protein shake. Where's my protein bar at? You know, and it's like, it's so funny, though, because I grew up around it and I always watched them and I was just like, oh, pizza looks so much better than protein. But now I'm just like, oh, protein bar is yummy.
Well, how is your grandfather doing these days?
He's not good. He lives in Austin, and he's still there, doing great. Fantastic.
Awesome. That's, I read that, and there was some dispute on the Internet because you used the name, and then you dropped it, and so there was, you know, some people believed you were the real granddaughter of Ivan Pusky, mm-hmm. Some said that you weren't. So we cleared up a rumor tonight.
Yes, I have plenty of pictures, if necessary. I have plenty of pictures, but I just wanted to be me, you know. I wanted to be my own wrestler, my own person.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want to ask you about some of the individual people you've worked with, and get some comments on them. I know you worked with Amazing Kong, Awesome Kong.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on where she's gone now into WWE?
I think it was great. I thought it was awesome. It was so awesome, pun intended, to see her on WWE TV, you know, especially as a place where most female wrestlers are always, you're always looking at the girls going, oh, they all kind of look the same. She brought something different to the table and made
right.
me kind of go, oh, well, maybe anyone can make it, you know. They're not just looking for blonde hair, blue eyes, oh, you're page 16 in a model catalog, you know. It's they do care, and it showed me that, you know, anything's possible, really.
Obviously, you mentioned that Sarah Del Rey was a big influence on you. You worked with her quite a bit over the indie circuit, and I'm sure probably some of your better matches was with her or against her.
Absolutely. Sarah, wrestling with Sarah taught me so much, and it still does every time. We were just in a six-person evening gown match together.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, was that the one with Portia Perez
it
also?
It was amazing.
I was going to ask you about your archenemy, Portia.
Oh! she got what was coming to her. I, like, glory bombed her into cake, so it's all okay now. Well, not right now, but, you know. But, wrestled one-on-one, like, a lot, actually. I can only think of maybe two matches that we've had one-on-one. But wrestling with her is, I don't know, I see her kind of like the bizarro me. Like, she's the bad me, and I'm the good her. And as far as, like, our characters and our personalities go, that's how I view her. I view her as the evil Rachel. Exactly.
How about Rain Von Tosh?
I only got to work with her once, but she was a sweetheart, and she was a beautiful, beautiful girl. So, and I don't know what happened to her. I don't know where she's gone. I hope she's doing well, though, whatever she's doing. I hope she's happy. But she was good, and she seemed to really enjoy wrestling at the time.
I was going to ask you where her whereabouts was. I don't think she's been around, you know, Shimmer
no.
the last several tapings. So.
No, I don't know. I don't know of anyone who's spoken to her lately.
If anybody knows out there, let us know.
Let us know. I hope she's well.
And I was going to ask you about Daphne. Of course, you said Daphne's had influence on you, helped train you. And what is she doing nowadays?
She's actually she's going to be appearing at the Joshi at the Queen of Queens Joshi tournament this weekend in Live Oak, Texas for ACW. So we will have her there as a special, you know, as an appearance. And I think she's just, you know, she's doing some seminars and, you know, doing what she's doing, being Daphne.
talk about your tag team with Jessica and the Rachel and Jessica's excellent tag team.
Yes.
Tell me about that tag team.
That tag team is pure awesomeness. It is. It's so much fun. I love Jessica James. She's my best friend. We totally compliment each other. She's, you know, it's so funny because I really feel like we're a great tag team because we just, like, look, you look at us and you go, oh, man, they can do some damage. Because she's, like, 5 foot tall, little, you know, petite, high-flying, really can wiggle out of those tight spots. And I'm, you know, 5 foot nine, blonde hair, coming in with big boots and massive clotheslines. So we have a good style that really complements each other. As for basically, I can throw Jessica around a lot and make her do... Which is awesome because we have this one move where it's called the Rudy 2D Fresh and Footy, where she does a big giant swing kick. I basically use her as a you know, a little propeller, and she likes to kick people in the face from it. But we teamed up on a Halloween show for ACW against the Canadian Ninjas, Porsche Perez and Nicole Matthews, and it was our first time teaming Halloween show, so of course we all dress up. The ninjas come out as two Batmans because they have no communication whatsoever between each other. And then Jessica and I come out as eggs and bacon because we just go so well together. And so the eggs and bacon thing actually just really stuck. So every time we came out, people were chanting bacon and eggs, bacon and eggs. So we took the whole bacon and eggs thing and made it into, you know, an IHOP thing. We hail from the International House of Pancakes. And so it's so much fun. I love tag team wrestling, so to be a part of just like a really fun tag team is awesome to me.
Yeah, you got to get IHOP as an official sponsor for you guys.
Right? I know.
Right?
I think so. I'm trying to work it out.
I think that'd be awesome.
I know.
an independent tag team sponsored by a corporate chain of restaurants. I think that'd be awesome.
I think so, too. We could film plenty of vignettes and put them on the old YouTube.
I want to ask you about WWE and TNA. Do you get a chance to watch their shows and maybe your opinions of the current product?
The last time I watched TNA, I haven't watched TNA in a while, and I really fast-forward through WWE a lot because I'm just so busy, so I just try to stay kind of caught up as much as possible. I don't get a chance to watch a ton. I watched a little bit of like the Raw last night. So I saw some of that stuff. It was Brie Bella. I saw the girl stuff on there, and it was Brie Bella and Kelly. And Kelly has come so far, like since the ECW Dancing Girl.
Right.
And now she's a Divas champion. I think that's really awesome just to show how hard she's worked being there. And I know people are like, oh, Kelly, but no, she's like busted her butt and put in the time and put in the effort, so good for her.
Just like, remember Trish Stratus back in the day, they brought her in as this model, and all of a sudden, before she was done, she was one of the better female wrestlers out there.
Absolutely. I think Trish totally changed, like, the view of women's wrestling in, like, mainstream wrestling. Because, yeah, she was just a fitness model, and people were like, oh, whatever. But she worked her butt off, and she became one of the best.
Absolutely. And I guess when you watch, WWE and TNA, is that what you specifically watch, the Divas, the Knockouts, to kind of see, you know, what they're doing and what they're looking for?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as any wrestler, you watch what your product, you know, your niche is. Like, the girls watch the girls. And I enjoy, you know, watching tag team stuff. I love the tag team stuff and everything. And even the high-flying stuff is always so entertaining to me.
Have you, obviously, you know, you were mentioning your goals, obviously, is to get with one of the bigger companies, either TNA or WWE, which is the goal of any independent wrestler. Obviously, they want to make money at what they do, and those are the two biggest companies. At this point, have you had any feelers, a tryout, any communication with either company?
I have not yet because I felt like I really wanted to get myself at a position where I thought that I could put myself out there and feel comfortable and confident in myself before, receiving feedback and whatnot. I'm, you know, working on my look, my body, and working on my wrestling as well. So I'm just kind of starting that whole process of really feeling comfortable and putting myself out there. So that's what I'm kind of starting right now.
Okay. I want to ask you about the tattoo. Does the tattoo on your arm have any meaning?
The clouds and the snow, I always, as a kid, you know, in science class, they told you every snowflake is different and neither two snowflakes are the same. So I always wanted something kind of incorporating that, incorporating the uniqueness that is me along with everyone else. So I basically told my tattoo guy that. I was like, I want something unique. I want something different, but I don't want it too harsh. So that's what he came up with, and I loved it. And I think it definitely adds a different look, but it's not too much. You're not like, oh, a girl with a tattoo. You're like, I think it's still girly enough.
Do you have other tattoos, or do you plan on getting any more tattoos?
I do have a few tattoos. I have some on my feet. I have two, like, sparrows on my feet. I have ladybugs on my shoulder, and I have, like, nautical stars on my hips.
Is that something you enjoy doing, or is that just something that you've seen other tattoos that kind of interest you to get a tattoo?
Every tattoo has a meaning for me. I mean, I put a lot of thought into each tattoo that I get, and it takes me, like, years before I get another one. Because, I don't know, I feel like tattoos should kind of represent stuff and be special.
I hope so. It's going to be permanent, right?
You know, the best tattoo story I ever heard was from my tattoo guy. He was tattooing me one night, and he goes, he works down on 6th Street in Austin, which is like the big party street. So he deals with a lot of intoxicated people, whatever. They come in, this group of, like, girls come in, and they're looking through the wall art, and he goes, and one of them goes, I want this one, and points to, like, a butterfly or something, you know, something of that sort. And he jokingly goes, oh, no, sorry, we're out of that one. And she's like, oh, really? And so she starts looking and then decides on another one. I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, man, that's scary. But, yeah, no, they all mean something special to me, absolutely.
I would, you know, obviously something that you want to be permanent on, you should have some meaning to you. Rather
right?
On a Friday night, getting drunk, went out to the tattoo parlor, you know.
You'd be surprised some of the people I've encountered, and I was like, oh, why'd you get that? I was drunk one night. Whatever.
Let me ask you, you know, staying with the topic of tattoos, and obviously, you know, you're in Shimmer, and you work for a lot of groups that, you know, promote women's wrestling. There's, you know, years ago there wasn't a lot of women with tattoos, and now you're seeing it more and more. Do you think it's getting more and more accepted, and that maybe, you know, it is something that makes you unique from the other girls?
I think so. I think it definitely gives the girls a different look. It can also harm you, though, I think, because people are like, I don't know, that's a little too much, you know. I think it can go either way.
Right. What, at this point, four and a half years in wrestling, what's been the biggest injuries or the most serious injuries you've suffered in the ring?
I've been very, very lucky. The biggest injury I received was actually probably in January of this year. I did a 10,000 thumbtack match with Athena down here in Texas, and she did a dive over the ropes to the outside, and I caught her. I fell on the concrete floor, and apparently, according to everyone who saw it, I crushed a beer bottle with my skull.
Ugh.
Yeah, now, ouch. I was out. I mean, watching the footage back, I was out. She's trying to pull me up, and I'm just laying there. I mean, I was out, and I had a good baseball-sized knot on my head, and I still do to this day even have, like, a little knot, like a little golf ball-sized knot. It was really scary, and I, like, thinking back on it now and kind of checking out the injury, I think I probably have a fractured skull.
Oh, boy.
And definitely I had a bad concussion, but that has to be the worst so far. And hopefully that just remains to be the worst.
And hopefully the last or something like that.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. Because, you know, I mean, now with all the, like, research on concussions and everything, that stuff is scary. You have to watch yourself. You really have to take care of yourself.
And what do you do about, do you have health insurance? Did you go get it checked out and, you know, get a medical report from a doctor?
Of course not. Do any wrestlers?
Of course not. You're an independent wrestler.
Of course not. Do any wrestlers ever go to the hospital and they're hurt? No.
Very, very rarely, unfortunately.
And that was the thing. Like, looking back on it now, I go, man, I really should have gone to the hospital. And the bad thing is, in Austin, where we have our shows, like, the hospital's two blocks away. Like, there really was no excuse except for me being like, no, I just have a concussion. I'm fine. As my brain's oozing out of my skull.
Just a little ice. I'll be okay.
That's what happened. It was Like, looking back, I go, what did I do?
You know, one thing with independent wrestling is that you get a chance to, you know, travel all around. You've been, you know, you've worked all over the United States. Is there any place you haven't wrestled yet that you're kind of looking forward to heading in the future?
I really want to go overseas. I want to go overseas. I want to see, like, you know, I want to wrestle in Europe. I definitely want to wrestle in Japan. I want to go all over. You know, I want to see the world. Absolutely. I mean, especially being able to do something you enjoy and see the world and travel and experience it all at the same time, there's nothing else better, you know, nothing else you can dream of.
Yeah, I know they a lot of times, like in Mexico, they bring a lot of the girls down there, like Nikki Rocks and some of those. Sarah Stock was down there for a long time. And has there been any feelers, like, from international markets to bring you in?
Oh, I don't know yet. I don't think so. I mean, there's been a little bit of interest in Mexico, but Mexico.
And you're so close to Mexico and Texas.
I am. I always said, though, the only person I really ever go down to Mexico with is Sarah Del Rey. So, because I totally, like, trust her, and I'm like, she's got my back. So if Sarah Del Rey ever wants to go, I will totally go to Mexico with her.
What's been the biggest crowd that you've wrestled in front of?
Oh, man. I would say when I wrestled for IWA Mid-South in the ECW arena in June of 2008, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah. That was definitely the biggest crowd. And it was just such a cool moment because I was in ECW. You know, I've been watching a lot of ECW at that moment. So to be in there and have a match, I wrestled Mickey Knuckles and I had a really good match that I was really happy with, was really cool.
Who's been, like, the biggest profile person you've worked against? Have you worked, like, against Mickie James or some of the other independent divas that maybe have been on WWE or TNA? Obviously, Awesome Kong.
Kong, Daphne. I would say, like, Daphne is a really big one. Oh, one that never gets mentioned a lot is Hamada, when I wrestled Hamada.
Right. Right.
That was a huge thing for me, and even I overlook it because it does get, I feel like it does get overlooked, but that was a huge match for me personally. I was so nervous because, you know, there's a language barrier, and you're just like, oh, man, it makes it that much worse. And then, you know, she's on TV, you just want to do well, and you want to have a good match, and I was really happy with that match. I was so happy wrestling her.
Yeah, Hamada was, what, formerly with TNA. She's, what, the Divas, or the Knockouts, what, tag team champion at one time?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was, what, Jersey All-Pro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jersey All-Pro Women, yeah.
Are they bringing you back, or?
I don't know. I have not spoken to them in a while. I don't know if their women's division has been having, like, just women's shows lately. So I don't know what's going on.
Obviously, I know Dave Prazak hasn't mentioned any names yet for October, but are you anticipating being part of the October tapings?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if I'm going to be up there or actually because I may. I don't know.
Dave, if you're listening, you know the phone number, right?
Right.
Dream opponents, is there anybody you would like to work against that you haven't got a chance to yet?
Oh, man. Definitely Beth Phoenix and, like, Natty Neidhart, of course.
Right.
Absolutely. Those two are just awesome. I'm trying to think who else.
Is there anybody, like, independently out there that you haven't got a chance to come across? Or?
That's actually what I was about to say. Serena Deeb, I have never wrestled one-on-one, and she's incredible. She's so good. So that's definitely an independent dream match of mine.
Okay.
Me against Serena.
Okay. What are your interests outside wrestling?
Outside of wrestling, I'm a total homebody. I like to go to movies. I like to just go, you know, hang out with friends. I go to school. I study, like, personal training as well as cosmetology. So I get to mix all of that up into wrestling a little bit. You know, do the makeup, do the hair. Tell you what, you know, make sure I'm eating right while I'm doing it all. So I enjoy doing stuff like that.
Are you a student of the game? Do you like to watch like old films and kind of, you know, watch old matches and kind of get a feel for, you know, where wrestling's come from and kind of, you know, learn different styles that you can adapt
yes.
to your offense?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like you can never stop learning. You can always find something new, something that you didn't know or something that you can make into your own. I love watching I enjoy watching wrestling. I was watching some old ECW the other night. I have a lot of All Japan Women's that I really enjoy watching. And then because I have like the web WWE on demand, so it's just tons of just classic, you know, matches go up on my computer screen a lot.
So what's your favorite period for Rick Rude? Was it WWF or World Class or Crockett Days or?
I really remember his WWF stuff, you know, of course, with Jake Roberts and everything. Like, that stuff is really what made me love wrestling, like, growing up. So that's always what I'll remember.
Yeah, being from Texas, you got to check out the World Class stuff with Rick.
Of course, yes,
awesome.
Of course. Oh, of course.
You've traveled around, you know, you've worked different shows. What, from a fan's perspective, what do you think the fans want from women's wrestling? Do you think they want, you know, a real physical match? Do you think they want eye candy? Or what do you think the average wrestling fan wants from a women's wrestler?
Or does it really vary? I feel like I'm somewhat spoiled in a sense because down here at ACW, like our fans are totally awesome with just women wrestlers being wrestlers. So we get thrown in there with the guys and, you know, nobody bats an eye. They're just like, oh, it's just another match. So whenever we're in there with other females and we bring that same style that we do, you know, from a men's match, you know, when we're fighting men and do it with the women, I feel like they're that much more impressed. And I feel like taking that style, because that's how I think. I'm just like, this is just a wrestling match. You know, there's nothing really different about me putting this match together with a woman than I would with a man. So I treat every match the same, and I feel like I get a good response when I'm a very strong wrestler, and there's definitely, people can tell that I'm fighting and that I'm hitting hard and that I'm not just lightly tapping them or whatever. You know, I feel like fans just want to see good action.
Sure.
In general. And absolutely, of course, like the eye candy stuff never hurts, but I think that also can go with like how you market yourself.
With WWE, you know, going back to the Attitude Era, you know, we saw the bra and panties matches, mm-hmm. the evening gowns matches, and so I think it took some time for maybe a new breed of independent wrestling or women's style wrestling where we could say, hey, you know, women can actually wrestle too. They're not just eye candy, you know. It's
absolutely
great that, like you said, some of them are very pretty and then can actually wrestle, like Trish Stratus mm-hmm. or Kelly
yeah.
Kelly. But, you know, there are some really good professional women wrestlers out there.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, not to interrupt you there, but
no.
is it frustrating for you when, you know, and I asked this about some of the other women's wrestlers. I mean, like, I just talked to Sarah Del Rey, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and she has been phenomenal for so long. And you think of some of the women you see on, you know, WWE or TNA, and I'm thinking, you know, Sarah Del Rey could, you know, wrestle circles around some of these girls, and
she's beautiful.
She is very beautiful.
She's beautiful.
Why would they never give her an opportunity? So is that something that kind of enters in your mind when you see, you know, like you were saying, then some of the 95-pound blonde women that seem generic, don't have much personality, or not good workers, that, you know, they're basically out there for eye candy? Is that kind of...
Oh, absolutely. I think that always, you know, I think that in anyone's mind, any wrestler's mind that watches, you know, the TV, the stuff on TV, any guy could look at the same stuff and be like, why is The Miz on there? He doesn't, you know, he's not all jacked out of his mind, or, you know, whatever, or like, whoever, you know what I'm saying? I think that can go for any wrestler. And, I absolutely think Sarah would be phenomenal on television. Sarah can wrestle. Sarah's beautiful. Sarah's got all, I think Sarah's got everything for TV. And she's just, she's amazing. She's phenomenal. Absolutely. And then of course it of course, like, bothers, it of course, you know, bothers any wrestler when you see that, and you're just like, gosh, what does she have that I don't have? But I think it all depends on what they were looking for that day, and they're like, oh, she works. You know, I think it just all depends on the day of the week.
We're going out for Tough Enough.
Yes, I did, actually.
You did try out for that?
I was going to, and then I just never got around to making a tape or anything. But if they do a second season, I totally will.
You know, they do those TNA gut checks, too, from time to time, so that could be an opportunity.
They do. They're actually having one in Houston, like, at the end of July.
Oh, so maybe we'll see you out there, then.
Maybe. Possibly.
Let's talk about what's coming up this weekend, and then any other plugs that you'd like to pass along to the readers and followers of GirlWick.net.
This weekend, Sunday, June 26th, Anarchy Championship Wrestling is holding its third annual American Joshi Queen of Queens tournament, which we tout as some of the best women's wrestling on the planet. We have a bunch of new faces, because typically in the last 2 years, the last two winners were Portia Perez and Daisy Hayes won the inaugural one. So we've had, you know, familiar independent faces like Sarah Del Rey, Daisy Hayes, Portia Perez, Mischief in it. And now this year we've kind of shifted gears. We want to give a lot of young up-and-coming talent, you know, a place to perform. A lot of them have never been to Texas, like Christina Von Eri, who I'm facing in the first round, is making her Texas debut. Mia Yim, who is also making her Texas debut, both, you know, coming from all over the country, all to Live Oak, Texas, the Hooligans, and we're just going to put on the best women's wrestling we can. And there's also men's matches, because in Anarchy Championship Wrestling, we, like I said, you know, we don't discriminate. Everyone is all one. We are all wrestlers, and we're all working for the same goal of making wrestling better. So there's a few of our men's matches as well wrapped into the big women's tournament to see who will win. So for more information, I guess, go to www.anarchychampionshipwrestling.com. It has all the links to buy to get, you know, reserve front row seating, general admission tickets you can purchase online, as well as updated card information.
And, of course, we had we talked to Portia Perez last week, and she already guarantees she's going to win this. So just so that you know.
Oh, did she already say she was in it? Because I don't think she's been announced. Oh, she went ahead and just announced herself for that.
I think she assumes she's in it, and not only
amazing.
Yeah, she assumes she's going to win it too. So you know, that's something to
keep in mind. Oh, Portia's been such a thorn in my side this year. I just want to like strangle her.
So we've heard.
Yes. Yeah. Like she's just been such a. She's gone so crazy. She's gone off the deep end. Like I feel like. She's younger than me, and she's so bitter towards wrestling. I just don't get it. It's like, yeah, you've done all this, and why are you so bitter? You should be happy that you've done all this and seen all this already. I'm still working for it. I'm still trying to, you know, get out there and see the world. I don't know. Yeah, she's been a huge thorn in my side.
They're interesting rivals, I would say.
I would say so. I would absolutely say so.
Why don't you plug your website? Are you on the social media also?
Of course, who isn't?
That's true anymore.
My website is rachelsummerlin.com, SummerlyN. My Twitter is also at Rachel Summerlin, all one word. I have a Facebook for Rachel Summerlin. Luckily, I capitalized on this Rachel Summerlin thing before too many people picked it up. So everything Rachel Summerlin is pretty easy to find. I have on my website, it has all the links to my Twitter, my Facebook, as well as like my best of DVDs, T-shirts that I have out, and whatnot also.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck in that tournament, and we wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you so much.